Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. He's a karma chameleon. It's Micah.
I was not expecting ABBA. That's ABBA, right?
I don't know.
It could be ABBA.
I don't think it's ABBA.
I'm pretty sure it's ABBA.
My guess is Wham. I'm going to look it up
what?
Real quick.
What? Wham?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't think it's either of them, honestly.
I'm going
to... If I had to guess, it's a one-hit wonder 80s like new wave band that literally that'll be their only hit.
I'm pretty sure it's ABBA. It's got to be ABBA.
Oh, it's not a one-hit wonder. It's definitely an 80s band, though. Culture Club.
Okay. All right. I was wrong. Oh, well. Oh, well. Now Culture Club can go tell the police about how I died, I guess. I don't know.
Do you really want to hurt me, Micah?
Is that the same song?
That's the same band.
Oh, okay.
Do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to make me cry?
Yeah. Every time I hear that song, I think of Shrek. Because one of the characters at the end of the first movie...
I think it's the wedding singer.
That's one that I really haven't gotten into out of all the Adam Sandler things.
It's so good. It's so good. It holds up, too. Yeah. I watched it recently. It's so good. It holds up.
It's not on my list of Adam Sandler movies ever when I think about Adam Sandler films. And I don't know why.
That one, Wedding Singer, Waterboy, Big Daddy. That was kind of...
Sure.
Those three movies, it was back in the, back in the era of the 90s when, you just had videotapes,
mm-hmm.
VHS cassettes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like...
Waterboy was great.
Yeah, just rewatch those all the time.
Waterboy was hilarious.
So good. Kathy Bates.
Oh, my gosh. When...
Fucking Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler was the funniest freaking person in that movie. There's a scene where he gets really angry and he throws a baseball and through a window. And, the running gag of the KFC dude just getting the crap kicked out of him multiple times through the movie.
Yeah.
And when he throws the baseball through the window and it just hits the KFC dude in the head... And the KFC dude just makes this noise and he's like, "Fnarr!" and then just drops. It's the funniest thing. Every time that I see that movie, I have to rewind that scene twice. I don't know why it's so funny, but.
Some classic good old physical comedy.
Yeah, man. It's Bobby Boucher. Bobby Boucher boys. I do like it too when he pokes the dude in the eyes because he's pretending to be Captain Insano. Pokes him in the eyes. Captain Insano shows no mercy. I want a wrestler to do that. I would love that. If that's the case.
Well, and who was Captain Insano? It was the Big Show, right?
Was it the Big Show?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
What a guy.
What a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, slapstick comedy, dude. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. They don't make them like that anymore. I wish they would.
No, I just watched a movie I had not seen. I guess it's not that recent. It's 10 years old at this point. But it's Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg. It's a movie called That's My Boy.
Okay. Is Andy Samberg the Lonely Island guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
He plays... So essentially the premise of it is Adam Sandler... is 13 years old and he has sex with one of his teachers and gets her pregnant.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And then he gets famous for it because it's the 80s.
Okay.
And then ends up becoming, once the kid turns seven and he turns 18, he gets full custody of the kid and the mom goes to jail. And so the movie takes place in 2010 or whenever it was made. And at this point, Andy Samberg is, a grown-up living his life, and he's kind of cut his dad off, and Adam Sandler is just a Boston scumbag who was famous, a childhood star type thing, who's just a scumbag.
Trying to milk that still.
And so, like, it's them reconnecting, and it's genuinely fucking hilarious. Like, Kendra just turned it on, and I had never seen it. I had heard of it. And
I haven't even heard of this movie.
More recent Adam Sandler movies, it just kind of got, like, I don't know, it just kind of felt like he lost it, and I didn't necessarily love some of the more recent ones.
Sure.
But it's really good. It's very fun.
Okay. One that I really liked was Mr. Deeds.
Dude, Mr. Deeds was great. Yes.
John Turturro was amazing in that.
Yeah.
The butler, the sneaky, he likes feet guy.
Yeah, no, I love... Okay, Mr. Deeds, actually, I think... Yeah, okay. Wedding Singer, Waterboy, Mr. Deeds. Then Big Daddy. Big Daddy is very funny, but it's more sweet. It's more heartfelt. That was kind of a big turning point for Adam Sandler when... Because his movies always kind of were a little bit... Like, always had, like, these nice, like, heartfelt moments, but for the most part, they were really just immature and silly and kind of, like, stupid, and it was just fun.
Yeah.
Whereas Big Daddy was, like, his first turn into kind of, like really heartfelt comedy.
A little bit more sincere stuff.
Yeah, because not long after that, that's when you start getting, like, 50 First Dates and Click.
Click was...
Both those movies are just very... Yeah. They're funny, but they're more, like, heartfelt.
They end up being that way, yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, with
both. I think we should spend an episode making a tier list and ranking Adam Sandler movies. Yeah.
Okay. We might have to do that. I mean, I've got to watch The Wedding Singer, though, before we do that.
Yeah, you should do that tonight.
Because...
I'm telling you, it's so good. It holds up. It's great. Yeah,
because I've got to reacclimate myself. I couldn't tell you a thing about that. Except, is his love interest Drew Barrymore in that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. And she's got, like, real short hair in that
one.
Yeah,
very young Drew Barrymore.
Okay. You know what else very young Drew Barrymore was in?
E.T.
Okay, yeah. That's, like, really, really young. I was not going back that far. Okay. But around the same time, Batman Forever.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in Batman Forever.
I haven't seen that movie in a very
long
time.
The one with Val Kilmer as Batman and the first movie with Robin. Chris O'Donnell plays Robin.
I know I've seen it.
Yeah, Two-Face and the Riddler.
Okay, yeah.
So Drew Barrymore was one of the Two-Face's ladies.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember Two-Face's lair, but it was split right down the middle.
I remember visually, like, Tommy Lee Jones. Visually what he looked like. I remember Jim Carrey as the Riddler. I remember Robin. I remember Batman. I can, like, see... I have, like, pictures in my head of that stuff. Because I know I've seen that movie. But if you ask me what the plot was or a single line of dialogue, no. It's been... I was... When it came out, I saw it.
Okay.
And I have not seen it since.
Well, yeah. I mean, Batman Forever was fun. But, yeah, Drew Barrymore played... So, Two-Face, the stud that he was, didn't have one... female henchman sidekick. He had two.
Yeah, he needed one for each face.
Yeah, and she was the good one. Like, on the good side.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you remember who the bad one was? Anybody of note?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. But Nicole Kidman was in that one. And she was of note to me as a young Micah.
Of course, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. How do you feel like Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face would have done in a movie where he was being set up by some mysterious figure named Kaiser Soze?
He could have fit in pretty perfectly into this movie, I think.
I think he could have, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because these guys were a little strange, especially Benicio del Toro's character. Yeah, Benicio del Toro's character.
Yeah, very...
Fenster.
I didn't understand at first what accent or... character he was, like, it was very strange.
Yeah,
it's one of those, like, I wonder if it was written that way or if he came in and just started doing Benicio del Toro stuff and they're like, okay, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but it's really good.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. It shouldn't be this good, but it's really good.
It weirdly works.
Yeah, for some reason. It's like Gary Oldman as the white Jamaican in
weirdly it works, right?
God, what was that movie? Leon
the Professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. What did he also, was it Gary Oldman that played a very similar character in, Oh my gosh, what was the other movie? True Romance?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Was it the same? Oh no, Gary Oldman played the white Jamaican in True Romance.
True Romance.
Yes.
He was just an over the top bad guy in Leon the Professional.
Yeah, but there was a white Jamaican guy.
There was a white Jamaican, yeah.
Different white Jamaican guy.
Different white Jamaican
okay.
guy.
Okay. All right.
Now what's up with the early 90s making white Jamaican guys?
You gotta have one, I guess.
They're like, movie. White people are scared of Jamaicans, but also we're scared of Jamaicans, so we can't cast one. We'll just make a white guy acting like a Jamaican.
Trying to like slowly get him used to Jamaicans. All right, we'll put one in here, but let's make him white so that
we don't want to go too Jamaican.
Yeah, not right off the bat. We got
silverware sitting out and stuff. Come on. Which I don't agree with that statement. That's right. What the producers
That's
of those
producers
movies
said. Yeah, 100%.
All right, let's talk about
The Usual Suspects.
Hey, folks, make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, folks, today we are going to be getting into The Usual Suspects. It's a 1995 crime thriller film directed by this guy named Ryan Singer, and it has a pretty decent cast, actually. I hadn't realized the cast, except for Kevin Spacey. He is in this. Also, let me just throw this out there. We're probably going to be talking about the people in this. Kevin Spacey has a very big role in this. He's a very good actor. He is a scumbag. I don't like Kevin Spacey. Thor might, I don't know. But we don't condone anything that Kevin Spacey as a person has done or is alleged to do.
I don't know. I haven't seen any of the evidence.
Yeah. So with that being said, any compliments that I have about Kevin Spacey in this are specifically about his acting capabilities and not Kevin Spacey as a person. I don't want people coming at me online thinking that I'm best friends with him and we're going to go hang out with Jeffrey Epstein or anything like that. It's not the case. Anyway, this has Stephen Baldwin, who I didn't even realize it was a Baldwin brother. Gabriel Byrne.
They all have the same. How do you not realize he's a Baldwin brother? They all have the same face.
I thought he was much more handsome than all the other Baldwins. I think he's the best looking Baldwin.
You think he's the best looking Baldwin? Better than Alec Baldwin?
Yes. 100. In this movie? Are you kidding me? He's gorgeous.
Okay.
Maybe with the beard? I don't know. He's gorgeous in this. I think he's better looking than Alec Baldwin. All right, that's just me. Although Alec Baldwin did look pretty good in The Shadow.
I'd like to see him now, you know?
Yes.
Well, and actually Alec Baldwin kind of looks like shit now too, because
he
killed that lady and had to kind of like go into hiding like on accident or whatever. but yeah, and so now he like has a beard and he's like yelling at paparazzi. He's gone. It's gone a little sideways for him, but
sure.
30 Rock Alec Baldwin. That's a handsome older man.
Yeah.
And he's so funny.
He is funny.
I think he's great. But okay, go on. We're talking about this movie.
Yeah, Gabriel Byrne, Benicio del Toro's in this, Kevin Pollak, and also
Chaz Palminteri.
Yeah, Chaz Palminteri's in it. He was in Hackers, yeah? Is that Hackers guy?
Don't think he was in Hackers.
Who? Oh, no, I'm not thinking. You're wrong. And by you're wrong, I mean I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I'm so used to saying, no, you're wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I got one for once.
you're 100% correct. I am thinking of something else. All right. Anyway, so this movie is all about this character played by Kevin Spacey, he has a nickname of Verbal Kent, because he basically just won't shut up once you start talking to him. And he's trying to give information about this giant, like, just death scene on a boat where 25 people wound up dead. and the cops are trying to figure out what the hell happened. So this movie is Kevin Spacey kind of talking about the things that had happened, and then it jumps back to the interrogation, and then it goes back to the scenes, and then it jumps back, does a lot of back and forth, that type of thing.
Yeah, so basically through telling the story, they're using the current day Kevin Spacey or verbal as like the story, the plot device of like telling the story. Yeah. He's doing the voiceovers of like, well, it was the last 6 weeks, we all got booked, you know, and what were these five guys, and the cops didn't have anything on us.
Yeah.
So basically he's like the not only the main character, but also kind of like the storytelling device as well through the film.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so it all kind of starts to culminate around this mysterious shadowy figure named Kaiser Soze. So with that being said, Thor, what are your thoughts on The Usual Suspects?
Oh, man, this was I was not surprised at how good it was. I mean, it's really great. I think this is a great crime film, especially like this kind of like perfect early 90s crime film.
Yeah.
It's good. It's not a heist film, but it is kind of follows some of those same lines where it's kind of it's kind of like, once again, it's like flashing back and showing what's going on.
Well, and there's a team involved, right? And they all have their own roles and that type of thing.
Yeah. And also how, like I said, I knew the name Kaiser Soze. I had never seen this movie, and I was familiar with that concept of like, oh, you're just looking around a room and you're seeing words, and then you're creating a name or making a story based on, you know, just making up a bullshit story based on the stuff you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was familiar with that. So I knew that even though I had not seen this movie, I was familiar with the name of the film. I was familiar with Kaiser Soze. So I was like, okay, this is probably going to be a pretty good movie. I was unsurprised by that. But yeah, no, okay. I think it's pretty great.
Awesome.
I really like Kevin Spacey's character. I think that's a fun character. Benicio del Toro's weird character. Yeah. All the main cast are incredible.
Yeah.
Like the whole team. I love Kevin Pollak. He's hilarious. I think he's just such an underrated like character actor.
Sure.
Benicio del Toro, I mean, what else can you say about the guy that hasn't been said? He's incredible.
Dude's really good. Yeah.
What's his Stephen Baldwin? There are certain people who can play that type of character so great, of this like kind of snarky asshole.
Sure.
Snarky asshole tough guy, and it just reads so well on him. He does it great. Like, it's so believable.
Yeah, I really liked his character in this one. I remember watching this younger, when I was younger, and I did not care for him as much.
Okay.
So on this rewatch, I actually found a pretty big appreciation for that character.
He was in Biodome as well, right?
I'm not 100% sure. Pauly Shore kind of takes that movie over for me. I don't really know anything except Pauly Shore.
I'm pretty sure he was the best friend in Biodome.
In Biodome?
Yeah.
Let's look. He was in Biodome.
Yeah.
Yep, you're correct. You are correct.
Okay, so does this performance stack up to Biodome? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Well, I don't think anything could. No, I'm kidding. what a fun movie.
I don't think Biodome is quite a cinematic masterpiece, but but sure, it's a fun movie. you know who else was in this movie? I don't know if you caught it.
I definitely caught a couple one off the top of my head. I can't.
So the now his name is escaping me.
Elliot Page.
No.
Okay.
Is it who?
Oh, you just mean the name is escaping. I thought you meant like.
What?
I was just coming. The way you were phrasing that, I thought you were saying it was like, well, now he is this person, but previously he was a different person. No, so no, I was like, no. Okay.
Hold on. I got to look at his roles. You know him 100%. And I don't want to. Okay. Yeah, I was correct. Gus Fring.
Wait, what?
From Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yep. He's in it.
Yeah. From The Mandalorian. He's the Gideon, Moff yeah. Gideon, yeah.
Yep.
He's fucking incredible. What? Was he the detective guy?
Yeah. He was the black detective in this.
Oh my god, he was so young.
Right?
No way. Right? Holy shit.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was talking, and I go, that kind of sounds like the guy from Breaking Bad. Right? Just the way to, the his cadence made me think, yeah, it might be him.
And what's his name?
It's Giancarlo Esposito.
Okay.
I probably butchered the pronunciation, but that's what it is. But yeah.
That's what happens when you come to America, pal.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So this moment for me is like when we watched Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
And realized, oh, that's Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Is the main character. It's like, wait, what?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, holy smokes. It was kind of wild for me too. But yeah. Yeah, anyway. So he was in it, and also
You know what's so funny too, though, is watching Breaking Bad. I remember being like, "How has this guy never had a big role before? He's so incredible." And went on, and I was like, "Oh man, Breaking Bad was really like the breakout moment for this guy because now he's in The Mandalorian."
Yeah.
Well, and it was, but like, he played this is a pretty big movie.
Sure.
He played a pretty significant role in it.
Yeah.
Whereas I was like, oh, he was an unknown actor before Breaking Bad.
Right.
But not exactly. Not quite.
Well, yeah, I do think, I mean, it was an important role, but it was a fairly small role.
That is true. Yeah.
So he didn't have
honestly,
a lot of screen
time. Honestly,
you
could cut it out of the film entirely and
probably.
It wouldn't change it at all.
Yeah, probably. Also, what's his nuts from The Avengers, Agent Coulson? Do you remember him? He was also in this movie. He was one of the doctors in that scene where they go in and I forget what nationality were Hungarians. Where like one of the Hungarian guys was burnt. He was like one of the survivors.
Okay.
And he's like, yes, this guy's super dangerous.
The first guy who's saying, Kaiser Sosa.
Yeah. Kaiser Sosa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to probably get into spoilers, folks. We haven't talked about who Kaiser Soze is, but you know what?
The movie's 30 years old.
Yeah. So with that being said, spoiler, folks. Thor, what'd you think about the big reveal about who Kaiser Soze ended up being?
I mean, it was pretty, just from my frame of reference, it was pretty foreseeable.
Yeah.
Just because even... Like I said, I hadn't seen the movie and I didn't even necessarily understand the Kaiser Soze reference the way I thought I did. Once I actually saw this, I was like, oh, I misunderstood.
Oh, okay.
Because I always thought it was like that the name Kaiser Soze came from him just looking around the room and seeing things on the wall and just putting things together.
Gotcha. And that's where
I didn't realize the bullshit story he was telling to the detective came from that. And then Kaiser Soze was just a fake name he had made up.
Sure,
long
his
ago.
Alias.
So my understanding of that wasn't even, like, I had not seen this, but I through like cultural osmosis, I understood that the story that the detective is being told is in some ways bullshit because whenever that trope is used in something else as like a parody or something, it's always through the context of, oh, it's lying to somebody and just, you know, bullshitting the person.
Sure. Yeah. So, making it up as you go.
So it kind of made like, it really wasn't that big of a surprise in any way.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen this when it came out with fresh eyes.
I was going to say,
would that have been like a Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense, like I'm actually dead. Was it that kind of twist for people?
I think that it was. Okay. For me, the first time that I watched it, it was.
Okay.
Because it really, the movie kind of hints, like if you're, when you go and rewatch the movie, you see the clues about Kevin Spacey being, or Verbal Kent being Kaiser Soze. But when you're watching it for the first time, you don't catch any of those clues. And they really do a good job, I think, of making you think that it is Gabriel Byrne's character, Keaton.
Yeah.
And they almost do a big reveal at the end of it to show that it's him. And then they're like, oh, just kidding. Here's the big reveal. It's like a big reveal that's just all bullshit for you as the viewer.
Yeah, it's a bullshit reveal for a even bigger reveal, which is fun. It's like a kind of like a double turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an Uno reverse in a movie. It's kind of wild. So for me, I was like, oh man, that was kind of cool. And then when what I thought was really effective was as all of these, because they do like the voiceover thing of all the things that Verbal Kent has said through the movie to the detective when he's piecing it all together in his mind. And you see the footsteps of Verbal Kent because he's got a pretty severe limp. In fact, they mm-hmm. call him a cripple through the whole movie. And you're just seeing a repeat of him walking down the sidewalk as he's leaving the police station. And then suddenly the way that he walks shifts and goes back to normal.
Yeah, because everybody thinks he has cerebral palsy and he's like, they just keep calling him a cripple, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't get away with that today.
Not at all.
But I love that they're just like, where'd the cripple go?
Yeah. The cop did do that. Yeah, the detective was like, the cripple, like, where'd he go?
Yeah, like today, they'd be like, where'd the differently abled guy go? You know, the one with the thing?
Yeah.
I don't want to say it.
But you know who I'm talking about, right? The cop would be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He went that way. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a pretty cool reveal. I liked it.
No, I think that's a great way that they did it, where he's walking all... walking all sideways, and all of a sudden he's just walking cool and lights up a cigarette.
Yeah.
And you, because not only is it a turn of like, oh, he's actually not crippled, but he kind of plays this like nebbishy, anxiety ridden guy the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he was putting on it like it was all an act. So not only is he walking straight, but he's walking confidently and he's just lighting up a smoke like he has no care in the world.
Sure.
Because he just fucking totally pulled the wool over this detective's eyes.
Like, yeah,
the detective had him and he just played his story and then walked out of there a free man and then just gets in a car and drives away.
Yeah. A wild thing. Also, I really enjoyed the part where the detective learns about Kaiser Soze. At least learns of the name and then comes in and he's like, who the hell is Kaiser Soze? And then Kevin Spacey just goes, fuck! Like in character, like he didn't want to say it or say anything. He just didn't want to mention it. But there are some really, really, really good one-liners in this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know if it originated with this movie, but there's the line of the greatest thing that the devil ever did was make people believe that he doesn't exist.
Yeah. Incredible. Such a great line.
Yeah. What an awesome line.
And then that's one of the lines they repeat in the big reveal of that he is Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
And delivered incredibly. The context of like the implications of him saying it to the guy.
Yeah.
Like all of that is... just masterfully done.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another line that he says that I really enjoyed. Again, going to the devil thing, where he goes, officer, it was the devil. How do you shoot the devil in the back? What if you miss? I thought that was an awesome line.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
I don't know. It just had such powerful significance. And again, it was all bullshit, but what a cool line.
Yeah, that's one thing with this film that it's also kind of tough because as he's going through the story of what happened,
mm-hmm.
it's tough to know like how much of any of that story was real.
Sure. Yeah.
That's the only thing that I kind of honestly I didn't necessarily like about the film, cuz I'm like, what if all of that was bullshit? What if none of that ever happened? What was the point of me even watching this movie?
Sure. Sure. Well, so...
did he just change names? Like, because, like, the lawyer's named Kobe. He's, like, the lawyer named Kobayashi.
Yeah.
Which, and it's, like, a white guy, which right away doesn't make sense. Felt weird. And then you end up realizing it's because he saw Kobayashi on the bottom. You couldn't have came up with a better name other than looking at the bottom of a mug.
I don't know.
And seeing Kobe. But yeah, so... was it just small details he lied about, or was all of it, but did none of what we saw happened? In which case, why did I watch the movie? Like it irritates me that I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe that was a point of it, is to make you question like, did any of this happen? Was this all just a huge waste of your time?
Sure.
Did you just get Kaiser Soze'd?
You might have.
He is the devil. Because he's just in my brain. Like, how much of that was real?
Well, So here are the things that I think are definitively real. I think definitively, the whole team was dead at the end of the movie.
Yes.
Right. And there was that shootout or, you know, with the flames and everything. So all of that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's really it. Oh, also so you find out, Keaton, who is a character who is now, I guess, trying to be on the up and up. He's trying to be, you know, the straight arrow in the group, but they just keep pulling him back in. He's got a girlfriend who is a lawyer, looks like.
Yeah.
And she ends up dying at the very end. So you don't see it, but it's a thing where the detective then comes out and says that she was killed.
Yeah, yeah.
So she dies. All of these other people are dead. And I think that that leads me to presume that the reasoning for bringing everybody together to do this big thing so that they could kill this single person who could point out who Kaiser Soze is, I think that was probably true. But I think that everything else is just, you know, pie in the sky. Could be true, maybe not.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah, that's what I say. And that's what's infuriating about this movie.
Yeah.
And now that I'm talking about how I'm infuriated about it, it kind of makes me like it more. Because okay. Because it is like that's kind of like the whole premise of the movie is like you're just listening to this guy lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's one of those, like I said, I don't know if this is the intent of the movie, but what I took away from it was I feel like I've been lied to through the entire movie. I feel like none of that happened, or maybe it did, or maybe it just happened differently.
Sure.
I don't know. It was a fun ride, but now I have all these questions and they won't ever be resolved because the movie fucking ended and it cut to the credits.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the funniest prank you could pull on an audience.
You know, now that you mention that, because I had never... Weirdly, I had never questioned the story being true or not. I had never questioned it. That, again, on this watch through, yeah. On this watch through, there are some things that I caught that I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Like, there's when they do an initial heist and like put guns up at these guys in a car garage, and Kevin Spacey, Verbal Kent, his character shoots the dude in the head in the car. When that scene happens, I go, why would he tell the detectives that he just shot a dude point blank in the face?
Yeah.
Like, why would that be a thing?
Yeah. So, well, he has immunity,
I guess.
Is what he's saying. You know, yeah. I have immunity from everything.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's why.
But yeah, maybe he said, because also Kaiser Soze gets off on power, and he gets off on this idea that, like, of... making this character of like lying to people, I think part of it is not just his power that he wants, is also that like he likes that nobody knows who he is. He likes toying with people. He likes using. So maybe he didn't shoot that guy in that. Maybe it was one of the other guys, and he probably talked him into it. But he could lie about that just because it's like I have immunity and I'm just playing with this detective the same way I've played with everybody.
Sure.
God, yeah. There's so many layers to this now. Jesus.
It's an onion of a movie. I appreciate that you brought that to my attention, Thor. I also don't like that you brought that to my attention. I thought that I had this movie figured out. But I didn't. It was just a ruse. I was Kaiser Soze'd. Ah, that's so irritating. Some fun facts about this movie. The lineup scene, which is the quintessential image of the film, right? When the movie came out.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole crux of... maybe not crux, but that's like the whole jumping off point of the film. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like they bring these guys in for bogus charges.
Also, I like that as a device. I liked that scene. I thought that was such a fun way of like, why would you bring a bunch of criminals together? Because like you basically just formed a group.
Yeah.
I think that's such a creative like story and plot device. And it's just... like visually, that's such a cool way of like bringing all these characters together. Like you and I have both played D&D. You always have to find a way to bring all your characters together.
Yeah.
Like that's such like an elegant and visually cool way where you're just looking at them all directly in the face. They all get a line. It all feels organic because they're in a lineup.
Sure.
Like, it's just smart storytelling and filmmaking.
Do you think that Guardians of the Galaxy took from this? The first Guardians of the Galaxy?
I could see that, yeah.
Because
they do a very similar thing, yeah.
Yeah, they, like, put them all in a lineup.
Yeah.
So that...
That could have been a little bit of a tribute to this, because they certainly have a... They're certainly in this kind of vein of these characters.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that before until just right now, but maybe that's the case. But this whole lineup scene, it was, according to IMDb, it was supposed to be a much more serious scene, but they kept messing with the takes. Like, they just kept messing up. Benicio del Toro.
Like doing where Stephen Baldwin comes out and is like, give me your keys, motherfucker. And just
doing that type of thing.
Yes.
So evidently Benicio del Toro just wouldn't stop farting through this whole thing.
Dude, what a legend.
And I'm pretty sure that it says on IMDb that the director just started getting frustrated and was just like, fine, just make it a funny scene, because it was like an all-day thing where they were trying to get through this.
Who directed this?
This was directed by Bryan Singer.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, so it's because he directed X-Men. He also directed X-Men being like the first X-Men movie.
Okay.
Also X-Men Days of Future Past, which is the second best X-Men movie.
What's the first best one?
Logan.
Okay.
In my opinion,
Logan.
Okay. He also directed Superman Returns, which is the Brandon Routh Superman movie.
Okay.
Let's see. He directed... he was an executive producer of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay. That's on the list because you still haven't seen that.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to see that.
It'll be on here eventually.
Yeah, but...
When the time is right.
I guess it just... I've just heard that there's a lot of things in that movie that aren't real. He evidently directed X-Men Apocalypse. Sorry. Okay, that takes him down a notch. Valkyrie. He directed House. He directed some of the House. Okay, so he directed X-Men 2. This movie called The... Oh, I'm sorry, a TV series called The Gifted.
Okay, that's one of those, like, Marvel offshoot TV series. Kendra has watched that a bit.
Okay.
So it's like the New Mutants type thing where it's like young. It takes place in the world of X-Men, but there's no actual X-Men.
Okay. He also directed the movie Valkyrie, which is it's a Tom Cruise movie about the people who try to go and take down Hitler.
Okay.
Which is an interesting movie. So anyway, yeah, that's the type of stuff. X-Men basically is what he's known for now.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. That he went on to do from this. He went on to do like big budget superhero movies.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like a Tarantino-esque type crime film, you know?
Right. Yeah. Now that you mentioned big budget, now I want to know. This had a budget of $6 million. Holy shit. Okay. So opening weekend, US and Canada had a budget of $6 million, which is wild. $6 million? That's it?
That's not a ton.
Not at all. Anyway, opening weekend, $645 million.
Jeez Louise. What?
Right? That's wild. What a jump. I'm sorry. That's wrong. That's 100% wrong. Opening weekend.
Is that the gross?
No. Opening. Okay. No. Oh man, I totally lied to you, Thor. Opening.
645,000.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Gross US and Canada, 23 million.
Okay.
Gross worldwide, the same number. So I guess it was only released in US and Canada.
Okay, it must be, yeah.
So either way, budget of six, made 23. Pretty good.
Okay.
Almost quadrupled its efforts, right?
Well, and also, I mean, it's the 90s when those numbers made more sense and were more.
Yeah.
You could make a movie for whatever and it was going to make a certain amount.
Isn't that wild?
Because you know, there weren't streaming services, there wasn't DVRs, there wasn't, sure. you know, so if you wanted to see a movie, and people did, you had to actually go to the movies.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild. That's wild that it was only 6 million. I'm just used to seeing numbers for, like, the Marvel movies, where it's 100,
yeah.
300
yeah,
million.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
And if and I mean, you could inflate it a little bit too for like today's money, but it wouldn't be that much, I imagine, still, even compared to like a Marvel film.
I don't think so. No, I think it'd
but
be
also
in...
I don't think any of the actors in this at this point in time were like super huge actors. Probably maybe Kevin Spacey, Stephen Baldwin were probably two of the bigger named actors at
I don't
this
know
point.
If this was before or after Seven. So this movie came out in 95. Did this movie come out in 95? This movie came out in 95. Yeah. So now let's look at Kevin Spacey's movies. LA Confidential came out in 97. That's a pretty solid film. 95. Seven came out. Oh, man. Seven came out in 95 as well. Dude, this movie and Seven, no wonder Kevin Spacey shot up in stardom. He was in both of these movies in the same year.
Yeah, he probably filmed them like back to back.
Yeah. So both of them came out in 95. American Beauty came out in 99. So that's wild. Because I was wondering if this came out before or after 7. Because this is early Spacey, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I think that either this or Seven
but,
was his
jumping off point. I'm certain he probably filled both of them back to back. So honestly, neither of them probably hit the theaters. Like regardless of which one was filmed first or released first, probably neither one of them impacted him getting this role.
Sure. Right. Yeah. What do you think was his better role? Have you seen Seven?
I have. It's been a long. It's been a while okay. though. I genuinely know he was in it.
I was just curious what you thought.
Here's the scenes I remember from Seven. The big fat guy.
Okay. The
and
glutton.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? Good old Brad Pitt.
Yeah. So it's one of the, like, I've seen it. I remember enjoying it, but I'm not good at remembering movies.
Okay.
Honestly, or TV shows or anything. Like, my brain just, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. like, my sister-in-law, she reads constantly. Like she reads books all the time. She's just somebody who loves reading. And she can tell you like in detail scenes from a book she read a couple of years ago.
That's cool.
And like my brain just doesn't work like that. I'm good at remembering random facts. Like I'm really good at my brain is full of fucking I'm great at trivia cuz my brain is full of just fucking random information that I heard one time 10 years ago.
Sure.
Whatever. But when it comes to like recalling like a movie or a TV show or something, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I remember liking that.
Okay.
And I might remember like one specific scene or piece of dialogue or something that my brain like latches onto, but I'm no good at being like, oh yeah, let me relive the plot of Seven for you.
Sure.
Like, no, I saw it 6 months ago. All I remember is what's in the box. That's it.
I mean, it's a really good one, dude. It's a really good one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so according to this, that line about the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he did not exist
mm-hmm.
was not from this movie. It was from a French poet named Charles Baudelaire.
Oh, of course. Charles Baudelaire.
Yeah. So for what it's worth, that's a good quote, Charles Baudelaire. That's a good one. Yeah, dude, I don't know if there's really much more to go about with this. I feel like it's really solid.
Oh, the bad guy who works for Kaiser Sose.
Yes.
The dude who flicks the cigarette in the eye.
Oh,
in
the guy's face.
Mm-hmm. I love that scene.
Yeah.
Like, I like that scene because it's like these two kind of like macho tough guys. I like this concept of two groups of like bad guys.
Sure.
trying to out bad guy each other, and one of them has the upper hand. And he like flicks the cigarette in his face, and he goes to try and grab him, and they like or like fight him, and they pull him back, and he's like, put a leash on your puppy. Also, I don't even know his name. The actor who plays that guy, can you look that up?
Yeah. He's one of those actors who's in a lot of things.
He's a character actor. He is a great bad guy. He's one of those people who just, I think he's typecast as a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a reason. It's because he does it incredibly.
Yeah.
My first interaction with him, or as a viewer, not interaction, but my first like a fandom of him came from when I was like probably 8 years old. He was the bad guy in The Mask.
Oh, okay. His name is Peter Green.
Dude, Peter Green, best bad guy of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a pretty good villain. He was in The Mask. He was also in... He was Zed in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm.
Zed's dead, baby.
Yeah. Bruce Willis. He evidently was also in Blue Streak. I don't remember him in that movie
at
all.
Blue Streak? Yeah. I just watched that not that long ago.
He was a character named
Kendra,
Deacon.
Kendra never watched any of like the late 90s like Martin Lawrence films.
Oh,
so
man.
We've been like rewatching them with her. We watched Blue Streak.
Yeah.
We watched National Security.
Okay.
We watched Black Knight.
Black Knight, yeah.
Dude, they're all still so funny. I fucking love Martin Lawrence. I think he is...
Old Martin Lawrence movies were great.
He is so funny. He's so great.
Yeah.
We did not watch Bad Boys.
Okay.
But we could, definitely. Because
sure.
Bad Boys is another one of those movies that's like just so fun.
You got to watch Nothing to Lose.
Which one is that?
That's him and Tim Robbins. So Tim Robbins plays some white collar businessman type of thing, comes home, finds out that his wife is cheating on him because he like sneaks, but he kind of like opens the door, sees that it's happening, doesn't confront anything, and just shuts the door and leaves.
Okay.
So,
that's probably how I would handle that situation.
Yeah, he just leaves.
I'd be like, okay, see ya.
Right. And so as he's in his car, not really sure where to go type of thing, he's just driving aimlessly. He's at a red light, and Martin Lawrence opens the door of the passenger side, sits in, pulls a gun to his face. And he's like, give me your keys or give me your wallet, motherfucker, type of thing. And Tim Robbins looks at him and he goes, you picked the wrong guy on the worst day.
Well, I don't think I've seen this movie.
Oh, dude. So it's actually very funny.
You said it has Martin Lawrence in it.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah. So Tim Robbins just is a guy who has nothing to live for right now. And so he just floors it. Runs the red light, starts driving like a freaking lunatic, pulls his wallet out, and he just throws it out of his car. And so now Martin Lawrence is really regretting his decision to try and stick this guy up.
Yeah.
Because he's a crazy white boy who's just got nothing to lose.
Dude, this sounds awesome.
And so it kind of becomes like a weird buddy road trip type of movie.
Okay.
Between the two of them. Yeah, it's a solid film.
Yeah, no, dude, he had a serious run in the late 90s.
He really did. Yeah, Nothing to Lose. Came out in 1997. Yeah. Martin Lawrence, Tim Robbins. Holy shit. Giancarlo Esposito is also in that movie.
Dude, okay, well, that's got to go on your list because I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And I want to see it. But I'd like to talk about it on this. So
okay.
Put it on your list for movies. For shit to recommend to me.
Yep, I'm doing it. I'm doing it now. Jeez. That's so wild. All right. We're kind of at that point.
Okay.
Where we start discussing ratings.
Okay.
All right. So, I don't know, Thor, on a scale of 1 foot to 10 feet high on a lineup chart, how tall would you rate this movie?
I think I'm going to go like, probably like 9 feet tall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's solid. That's a solid one.
No, I don't. I don't have any criticism of it, really. I mean, I think it's a great crime film. It's a great 90s film. It's fucking very. If you're for anybody, this is probably another one of those movies where I'm one of the few people who haven't seen it.
Sure.
You know, at least people of our age who like listen to the show or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think if you're a fan of like, it's very. Tarantino-esque. It's not a Tarantino film. It's much more like linear, and the dialogue is certainly not Tarantino dialogue. But I think it definitely has a lot of those same trademarks that he has. Like, they certainly, it feels like they certainly have similar like influences in filmmaking.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I would put this right up there with like True Romance. Like same kind of vibe. Certainly different as far as like the what's going on and stuff, but I mean, I think it's beautifully shot. It's a fun like action film, but also with a lot of like intrigue.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that I'm pissed that I don't know if any of it's real. Like I said, that's the funniest joke.
You know, normally I am, and I've been on record saying this, that I don't like when movies leave things up to the viewer, right? I feel like it's a bullshit cop-out. This might be one of those scenarios where I'm actually okay with their...
Well, this has such a... It's such a purpose to it. Because that's the whole premise of the movie, is like, he's bullshitting his way through this story so that he can leave the police station and then fucking abscond forever and go back to being in the shadow. So it's like, it's almost this like meta take. And once again, maybe everything happened exactly the way he said it.
Right.
And maybe it's not meant to be viewed that way, but I can't help to think like, well, if he was bullshitting the cop, why would any of that been true in any way whatsoever? So it's like kind of this meta take on it that I don't know is actually meant to exist. And also I kind of love that because it's like, it's fun watching a movie and not knowing like, what the fuck did I just see? Was any of it real?
Yeah. I also think that maybe to go along with that, maybe the reason that I'm okay with it on this one is that even if it was all bullshit, whether or not you know, doesn't matter.
It doesn't impact
story.
It doesn't impact any of what you saw.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be the reason. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. 9 out of 10 feet tall on a lineup. I don't know how I feel about that rating scale, but that's all I could come up with off the top of my head.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was okay, right?
Probably should have went like 1 to 7 because...
There were 7 of them?
Well, no, because people don't grow to be 10 feet tall.
Giants are people too, Thor. That's all I have to say about that. If you are a giant and you listen to our show, I would love you to get a hold of us and give us a recommendation.
Yao Ming, if you're listening.
And we know that you are.
Yeah, just send us a recommendation.
How's the view up there? I just, you know, curious. So yeah, if you're above 7 feet specifically, all right. So I'm trying to pin down Shaq on this one. All right.
Dude, Shaq, come on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, Shaq, I would love you so much more than I already do.
Did you ever watch that documentary?
I haven't
yet.
It's
just called Shaq on HBO Max.
I gotta
watch it. It's a 3-part docuseries. It's really good.
I gotta watch it. Yeah.
Dude, I love Shaq so much.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, you can find us on a multitude of areas. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Threads for some reason. And you can also send us an email. Our email is getrickpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com.
Correct, yeah.
I can spell. All right. With that being said, Thor, what are we jumping into next week?
Alrighty, so there's been a recommendation on the list for a while from Michelle.
Okay.
Our most faithful and loyal listener. Michelle, if you're listening, and we know that you are, you had said to me a while ago, I think you guys should talk about Trainspotting. And I forget if we talked about it on the show or not. It's a movie we had both seen at some point years ago. And...
Okay.
Neither one of us could recall really anything about it.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, it's great. Let's get to it. I don't have anything that's burning at me right now. So let's go, we're going to watch Trainspotting.
Trainspotting? Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. That's with Ewan McGregor?
Yeah,
right?
Young Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
And he plays a Scottish heroin addict.
Fantastic. Very cool.
Just living his life.
Okay. Well, All right. Sounds like fun.
And it is available on I looked. It's available on Paramount Plus with a subscription.
Oh, so. Very, very cool. Yeah. I don't know if Usual Suspects is available anywhere now. I mean, it's beyond it now. You're too late. I'm too late. I'm sorry. But you can find it somewhere. You should go find Usual Suspects. Maybe it's on Paramount Plus.
And even if we did spoil it a little bit, we really didn't talk a ton about the plot. And I think if you haven't seen it, you should go watch it. It's certainly worth a watch. It's a pretty, as far as like cultural zeitgeist, I mean, I think it's definitely there.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why. It's because it holds up.
Yeah.
There. A lot of times when I watch movies from the 90s or earlier, I watch it and I can't help but think, man, this is kind of dated.
Sure.
I didn't have that for a moment watching this movie. It was okay. Genuinely just a great watch. I think the dialogue holds up. I think all the scenes hold up. I think it's a really well-made film.
Yeah. Well, good, man. I'm glad that you liked it. I'm glad that you liked it. Next week, we're getting into Trainspotting. Watch it. Join us next week, and we'll talk about it then. Maybe talk about the pros and cons of heroin, too. I don't know. It's probably more cons than pros, I'm assuming. I don't know.
I think there's only one pro, but yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. Don't do it, please. I'm not recommending it or condoning it. With that being said, until next time, folks.
As always,
you get wrecked out there.
Stay wrecked.
Yeah, this movie really makes me want to describe somebody as orca fat. That's like, that's my favorite line of the entire. They're like real fat, like orca fat.
Orca fat.